We are less than an hour away from kickoff between Croatia and England in the World Cup semifinals. One of the men that will be calling that, Ian Dark, joins us on the line right now of BT Sport and ESPN. Ian, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, not at all. It's obviously a lot of excitement here building up to this game now.
So we talked so much about the pressure on this England team because it felt like they came into this tournament with none. And I can't imagine that's still the case. I know they've exceeded expectations, but here they are, the favorite in a semifinal. Where would you put the pressure on this English national team right now?
Well, I think they're only narrow favorites because Croatia, remember, sailed through their group with a 100% record. I think they've had a bit of a tougher run, and that 3-0 win they had over Argentina in the group just underlines the point of how dangerous they could be. I think England are only narrow favorites because they're probably a little bit fresher than Croatia, who had to go to extra time and penalties, of course, against Russia, whereas England had a pretty easy passage, as it turned out, against Sweden. But you know what? This is a 50-50 game, really. It could go either way. I don't think there is a lot of pressure on England. Obviously, having got this far, they now want to go all the way, but they've already exceeded expectations of everybody back home by just getting this far. And I can tell you something, England is at a total standstill tonight.
Yeah, and it really does feel that way, and it's been mentioned so often about the lack of pressure on this team, and especially compared to the Golden Generation. I wonder from your standpoint why you think that it's been this way.
Well, I think you've got a bunch of players here, you know. That Golden Generation you're talking about with Paul Scholes and Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard, Rio Ferdinand, all top players. But I think they've admitted now there were cliques in that team. They didn't enjoy playing for England. They felt it was a bit of a chore. And that was reflected in their performance, I'm afraid to say, at big tournaments. This is a different group, grounded, very few egos in it, a lot of players who went out on loan to lower division but got their hands dirty. These boys are absolutely proud to be playing for England and that white shirt. They may not be as good man for man as those players I just mentioned, but as a team and with a manager who's got exactly the right approach, they're becoming quite a force, and they may be timing their run just right at this World Cup.
So you mentioned the paths for both of these teams, and I think that in discussing them with a lot of different people, there still seem to be a lot of question marks, and that, yes, of course, England has exceeded expectations, but the road here was not the most difficult. They have had a decent draw, and even in the group stages, the one match that they had where they were not favored was a meaningless game. And some of that same thing can be said for Croatia. And in fact, a lot of people thought that they were outplayed by Russia, a team that wasn't really expected to be where they were. And I wonder, who do you think has more to prove to you today? Who are you looking at and saying, I'm curious to see what the real version of you is in a bigger game against better competition?
That's a very good question, I think. I think you'd have to say Raheem Sterling, who is under the spotlight because he can't seem to put the ball in the back of the net for England, even though he did it so many times for Manchester City during the season. I think Dele Alli as well. I know he scored a goal in the last game against Sweden, but I think he's been a subdued version of himself, really, all year. We need those two, I think, England, to come to the party tonight. And I think maybe in midfield, Henderson is going to need a little bit more support than he's been getting because he's up against two of the world's top midfield players in there, in Luka Modric, of course, and Ivan Rakitic. And that might be a crucial area in this game. But I do think tiredness at this late stage of a tournament is not something to underestimate. And Croatia did look out on their feet a few days ago, so they'll have to make it a quick turnaround, but they do have quality.
Is this a start of a run for England, maybe in 2 years at Euro or in 4 years' time at the next World Cup in Qatar? Is this, hey, this breakthrough here, is this sustainable for maybe the better part of a decade for this English national team?
Well, I think one bridge at a time, I would say. I mean, heaven alone knows, because we've waited a long, long time. It's 52 years now since England won the World Cup. 52 years of hurt, according to the famous song. So I think, you know, let's get tonight's game done with first and see if England can make it against all the odds to the World Cup final against France. In the future, I think that's something I think that even Gareth Southgate will say, well, let's wait another day. But you hope, to answer your question, you hope, yeah, that it's the basis of England now becoming a bit more of a force than they have been. And they haven't been a force at all, let's face it, for the last 20 years or so. So, you know, this is a big step up, and you'd like to see it continue. But whether it will or not, I don't want to make predictions, because I've seen what's happened here to Brazil and Argentina and Spain and the rest. So, you know, predictions just make fools of you, to be perfectly honest, with the way this World Cup's gone.
Yeah, we've done that quite a few times, and we are fools.
So
who on this English team has changed, I don't know, maybe perception or marketability when they return home? Who has benefited the most on an individual level from this run?
Well, I think the goalkeeper straight away, Jordan Pickford, because there was a bit of a debate about who should be the goalkeeper. Now there's absolutely no doubt. The Everton goalkeeper, he's performed heroics. He's looked in charge back there. Then in the defence, Stones has looked imperious. He's hardly been getting a game for Manchester City in the second half of the season. He's looked great here. Harry Maguire, of course, as well. I think everybody's wild about Harry's, aren't they, in England this summer with Prince Harry and Harry Kane, and now Harry Maguire doing what he's doing. And I think a lot of people here in Russia are talking about him. They didn't know much about him before. Yeah, I think I'd pick out those three, of course. And it's good to see that Kane is now firing at a major tournament, because he hasn't done that before. If you go back even to the Euro under 21s, when he just looked jaded. So he's in line to pick up the golden boot, and he'd love that.
Yeah, I was going to say, from a markability standpoint, it seems quite obvious that it's him, even though he was already a big star heading in, that this has just taken him to a new level. Again, even in a country like this one, making him a household name. He's one of the people where I've had the vast majority of conversations have been around him, or even discussing him, from all matters of his football playing ability to debates on how good looking he is.
And what was the verdict on that?
The verdict is better with the beard.
Yeah,
better
people
with the
like
beard.
Him better he's, with
he's,
the beard.
He's much better looking with the beard than the clean shave, which yeah. I'm rather jealous of. I feel like I'd be the same way if I could actually grow one. The game plan for England to get through today, though, how much of this just comes down to being able to control Luka Modric?
Yeah, I think it's a big part of the game. There's no doubt about that. The preparation will have been meticulous. I think England will play the way that they have been playing. You've seen the team. It's the same team. No changes. And I think they'll just go about work in the same way that they have for the last 9 or 10 months now, with playing three at the back, playing it out from the back, and then hoping that the speedy runs of Sterling can open things up for Harry Kane, and hoping that Dele Alli really does come to the party and show what he can do as well. Because I think if he's in the mood, he can open up any defence. I don't think we've really seen him properly in the mood so far. The other player, of course, that has been a surprise for England is Kieran Trippier, playing as the right wing-back. He's one of the great crossers. He's just a lad who's been rejected by a couple of clubs. He comes from an industrial town in the north of England called Bury. He watched David Beckham crossing footballs on TV as a kid, and he tried to do the same thing, and he's making a pretty good job of it here, and a lot of England's chances are coming via him.
So I know England has scored a bunch of their goals off set pieces and corners in this World Cup, but is it fair to say, if there's a lot of goals scored in this game, if that's all you were told, that you would think that it's probably England winning the game, and if it's a tight to the vest and maybe a nil-nil game going to extra time and maybe kicks, that would favor Croatia?
Well, I don't know. I know England have worked very, very hard on the set pieces, and even harder on penalty shootouts, and the psychology of them. That came into play in that Colombia game when they broke the big hoodoo and became labelled as the Ghostbusters. So I think England are ready, really, for all eventualities here. But I'd underline the point again. I mean, I haven't even mentioned somebody like Perisic, who plays wide on the left for Croatia, and Mandzukic, the striker, who's been around in the Champions League for a long time. These are players who can turn any game in an instant. So, you know what, I do think it's 50-50, guys, and I do think it's on the night where that ball breaks and who really has got the temperament and energy levels to cope with this occasion this late in the tournament.
I know you have already told us that you don't like to make predictions, but after watching France throughout this entire tournament and just how exciting their attacking players have been and how well they've played, do you see whoever gets through today being a very heavy underdog against France in the final on Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has to be right, because France do look pretty commanding. You know, even last night, they didn't get a kick for the first 20 minutes against Belgium. They were all over them, but they weathered that storm. They seem to have a resilience to get through any rough patches, and then their class tells. And, of course, they've got this Olympian speed of Kylian Mbappe, who is bound to be a target now, I think, for Real Madrid, along with Neymar. And they've got the craft and cleverness of Antoine Griezmann as well. And then they've got the power of Pogba in midfield, Conte breaking it all up, and Varane and Umtiti, the two central defenders, are probably the best pair in the whole of the tournament. They are going to take the world of beating, I think, in the final, whoever they play.
Mbappe is the breakout star of this tournament, right? He doesn't play at a tiny club. He plays at PSG.
He's getting paid.
But yeah, it feels like he's the guy on everybody's lips after this tournament, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, that's right. But I wouldn't say you couldn't call Mbappe a breakout star, because he was hardly a secret beforehand. This is the guy that was transferred for a huge sum to Paris Saint-Germain, who are loaded with money. And they were probably one of the very few clubs who could actually afford him. But, you know, now that Cristiano Ronaldo has made his move from Real Madrid to Juventus, there is a gap at Real. I think they will target Neymar, first of all, see if they can get him. If they can't get Neymar, then Mbappe, I think, is second choice. He may, by the end of this tournament, become first choice. He's had a far better World Cup than Neymar did, that's for certain. He's a kid, really. That first goal in the game against Argentina, that classic goal, when he picked up the ball in his own half, outstripped, it seemed, the entire defence. They had to foul him, give away a penalty to stop him. And I think any team, really, who can't keep close tabs on him and stop him, once he's got that ball and starts running at you, you're dead, really. So you've got to try and cut the supply line to him or get straight on top of him the moment that ball is delivered to him.
Ian, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the match and maybe football coming home, perhaps, in less than a week's
maybe,
time.
Maybe it is, but let's not get arrogant about it. I think, you know, there's a big job to do out there tonight.